Happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath.
Praise the Lord. Sounds like a healthy response. Well, I'm just going to get straight into it. As you guys know, might know, my name is Justin, and I'll be presenting to you tonight's topic. But before I get into that, tonight's topic, Saturday night at 7 o'clock, will be the devil's vacation. The devil's vacation. Don't you want the devil to take a vacation? You know, he's just so annoying. I mean, last night, I was just being tormented by mosquitoes, and it was just horrible. And I was just hoping, like, Lord, why can't these mosquitoes just go to sleep? You know? Well, the devil will have a vacation, and it's going to be a point where he's not going to be tempting us anymore. And tomorrow's topic, is death secrets revealed. Have you ever had any questions about death? Like, how does it feel to be dead? Or, you know, when you die, do you just walk as a ghost like they say on TV? Or how does it feel? What is it like? Tonight, the Bible will answer our questions about death. Death secrets revealed. And right now, I'll be speaking about how to avoid cults. How many people like going to cults? Oh, praise God. Well, we got that down. So, now you learn how to avoid them. Because it's easy to get deceived. So, let's pray. Father, I ask that your Holy Spirit will be with me, Lord, and I ask that we all will see it clearly from the Bible, how to distinguish a cult and the genuine truth, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You know, it was a story of a bizarre cult led by Marshall Applewhite. The cult emerged in the state of California in Rancho Santa Fe. There was no sign of life inside the house as they checked each room. But to their absolute horror, they discovered 39 dead bodies. Each individual was lying on a bed in a black jumpsuit wearing track shoes with a bag at the foot of their bed. On their bodies, there were three pieces of identification: their birth certificate, their driver's license, and their passport. Each one of them taken a mixture of vodka and poison. They committed mass suicide because they believed their leader, Marshall Applewhite, that if they were to commit suicide, their spirit would jump up into a UFO that's behind this comet called Hale Bob in 1995. And if they go up there, that was their only chance to go to heaven. So ever since then, they called this cult the Heaven's Gates cult. But how can you avoid such a cult? These people weren't just anybody. Who were these people that followed at Marshall Applewhite? Who were these members of the Heaven Gates cult? Were they dropout of society? Were they wandering homeless people? Were they just people that just couldn't make it on their own? One was a middle-aged school teacher who had taught for years. Another was a well-respected postal worker. And one was a housewife, a mother of five, who was just a normal person. Most of these people were thinking, intelligent, fairly successful people, quite normal people. But there was one common denominator that bonded them together. They were all searching. They were all looking for this inner peace, a direction in their life. One of the great reasons why cults are exploding these days are because people are confused about the direction in their lives. They're looking for answers, definite answers. They want a purpose in their life. They want a reason why to live. When the church watered down this message, when there's little power in the pulpit of our churches, when there's little of the Holy Spirit transforming lives, these seeking people look somewhere else. They feel, well, if it's not here, then I should go somewhere else. When the power is lacking to make a drunken person sober and the prostitute pure and angry people kind and dishonest people honest and greedy people unselfish, these people go out searching for another place. When there is little power in the churches, they go out looking for something else. the truth of the matter is that the reason why cults are growing are because people are looking, and unfortunately, they're looking in all the wrong places. Unfortunately, many people around this world are seeking our dead ends. Tragically, many of these places are leading them into a detour straight into eternal loss. So how can you keep from being deceived by these cults? When you look at the Bible, it clearly distinguishes between the genuine and the counterfeit. Now, from the Christian perspective, a cult is a group that does not accept Christ as their Lord and Savior, and the Bible as the foundation of faith. Now, if you use these five tests, you will be able to distinguish between true and counterfeit. It is not for me to evaluate right and wrong, but I can give you the biblical principles for you to evaluate the truth. It's going to be much more important when the beast arises from Revelation 13 and try to deceive many people. It's going to be much more important in the days ahead when not a thousand but millions of people will fall at the foot of this Antichrist. He will look like the real thing. He will claim to be the real thing. You will touch him. You see people being healed. You feel the electricity of his presence there. Now, how can you avoid cults like this? There's five reasons. Now, here is one. Cults have a single power leader who becomes the cult's leader, Messiah, basically. But notice what the Bible says. If you go to Isaiah, you got your Bibles? Okay. Isaiah 45. This is the way to avoid a cult. Amen. Your word. Amen. Isaiah 45, verse 22. God says, "Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the world, for I am God, and there is none else." There is no other God out there. Now, if anybody says, "Well, I am God," well, of course, he's false. And that might be easy. But in Matthew 24, verse 24, it says, "For false Christ and false prophet will arise and shall show great signs and wonders, and to deceive, if possible, even the elect." Well, some say, "Well, oh, look at that church. Don't you see these miracles that they're performing? Look at the people there. Look at the people that are coming there. The place is packed. Look at this preacher. He's so sincere. The man is so genuine." But the Bible makes it clear that sincerity is not going to get you there. The Bible says in Proverbs 16, verse 25, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death." You know, we do it all the time. We're driving on the highway and, you know, we pass our exit and then we continue to drive and say, "Well, this seems like the way I went before." But your sincerity is not going to get you to your place if you're continuing to go the wrong direction. You're sincerely lost. In 2 Thessalonians, read what these leaders usually do. It says, "Let no one deceive you by any means, for the day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition." And the word perdition means lawlessness. So the man of sin, the Antichrist, who rebels against God, he will be revealed before Christ's second coming. Okay? And the Bible also goes more in detail. It says, "Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God and that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple, showing himself that he is God." Now, I'm going to show you this video, and it kind of makes me angry every time I watch it, but I just have to show you how real this is. Is the sound working? Okay.
In a tattoo parlor on trendy South Beach.
You did the 666 really big?
Yeah.
sat the daughter of the man who claims to be God.
He's back. He's here to teach us that we should reign in
Florida,
life, that there
Miami,
is no
Florida.
Sin. And today we're honoring him with a symbol.
Joanne de Jesus is one of several dozen members of a religious sect called Creciendo en Gracia, or Growing in Grace. They were tattooed on their arms, ankles, even their necks, with 666, the biblical sign of the Antichrist. Why? Because their spiritual leader says he is the Antichrist, not the embodiment of evil, but rather the second coming.
666, Antichrist, means do not put your eyes on Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Put it in Jesus after the cross.
And that's you.
That's me.
Andy says the word Antichrist is a bad translation of a word that actually means the new Christ, the second coming. The charismatic 61-year-old De Jesus claims millions of followers, most in Latin America. His sect does have hundreds of churches, cable TV stations, and says it brought in $1.4 million in donations last year. And he boasts of a rapidly growing presence in the United States. In an interview with us in September, he declared,
I do greater things than Jesus of Nazareth. Much greater.
Now, sporting his new tattoos,
Seis. Triple S.
De Jesus says those expecting the second coming of Christ on a cloud with angels have misinterpreted what Jesus himself said.
He said it. You won't see me anymore because he will come in another body, which is me.
He's in their head. He's inside the heads of those people.
De Jesus is dangerous, says religion professor Daniel Alvarez, because he believes he's God.
And this megalomaniacal moves are the ones that are very disturbing, because it shows that he does believe his own hype, and he's capable of saying to his members, go tattoo 666 on your arm. I believe he's also capable of asking his church members to do even something more dramatic than that.
De Jesus laughs at the implication.
They always say those things. They're going to keep waiting for me to kill everybody, you know.
Right.
I'm giving life to people.
De Jesus is referring to the suicide deaths of more than 900 killed in the so-called Jonestown Massacre nearly 30 years ago. But he says mass suicide would never happen with his followers.
If somebody tells us, listen, drink some Kool-Aid and then we'll go to heaven, that's not true. We are already in heavenly places.
De Jesus preaches that heaven can be found here on earth, simply by following him. There's no sin and there is no hell. And that's part of why he's attracting so many followers. But marking your body with 666 seems an unusual way to show you're a Christian, even unnerving the tattoo artist.
Now isn't that ridiculous? And I'm just astounded by the fact that there are millions and millions of followers of this guy. Millions around the world, prominently in the Latin world. But the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 7, it says, and to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when he comes, he will burn this place up. Those who claim to be Jesus Christ, who will stand before this fiery flame of truth, they cannot stand before him. They will have no choice but to bow and say, Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
With all these false Christs, all this stuff testifies of this verse, which I'm about to show you. Take some time though. And he also said that there is no sin. Now if you read, if you continue to read your Bible in 1 John 3 verse 7, it says, let no man, little children, let no one deceive you. He that does righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. So just by the fact that he's claiming that there is no sin, he just cancels himself out, just really easy. But this guy's a joke. I can't call him Antichrist.
I saw that segment.
You saw that segment?
Also ex-con.
Ex-con, ex-heroin, Puerto Rican guy. Here I go. Now, 1 John 2, verse 18, it says, "Even now many antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. Many antichrists have come." Many. Even from John's day, even up to today, there are many. There are no substitute for Christ except the Holy Spirit. There is only one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and one Father for all, who is above all and through all and in you all, like it says in Ephesians 4, verses 5 to 6. There is only one Messiah the Scripture speaks about. There is only one Savior that deserves a crown that wraps around the universe, but yet He took a crown of thorns for our sins. There is only one person that walked on Calvary, holding the sins of the world on his back. And there's only one person, only one name that we can be saved. Like it says in Acts 4, verse 12. Can you read it with me? "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men which but must be saved." So there is only one. Jesus, born of a virgin, conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb. Jesus, brought up as an obedient son and as a carpenter in a carpenter shop. Jesus, who broke bread and fed 5,000 people. Jesus, who touched the eyes of the blind and they saw. Who opened the ears of the deaf and they heard. Jesus, who told the lame to walk and they walked. Jesus, who wiped away the tears of every person, who will wipe away the tears of everyone's eyes. Jesus, who rose Lazarus back from the dead. Jesus alone is worthy of our worship. Jesus is the only Messiah.
That's right.
Only one. And the only one that will come to rock this world. Jesus will come again. I can't wait till He comes to show Himself. I can't wait till God shows off. The second way to identify a cult: the leader's words become absolute truth, then it overshadows the Bible. After the terrible tragedy of Jonestown in Guyana, when 913 followers of this preacher committed suicide, Jim Jones, at the Jungle Compound, a selection of the preacher's taped sermon was aired by varying news organization. One day, Jim Jones was preaching, and as he was quoting scriptures, the people in the audience, they were looking up the verses in the Bibles, and pretty soon he realized that they were looking in the Bibles. Then he says, "Don't look at this book. All you need to do is listen to me." Then he slammed the Bible onto the ground. That is pure deception.
Amen.
God says in His Word, "Hearken to me. Hearken to me." The God of the universe who made your ears, He says, "Listen to me." When a religious leader becomes the absolute truth for his congregation, they are being misled. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God." And in John 17, verse 17, it says, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." And in John 8, verse 32, it speaks about the power of God's word. It says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free."
Amen.
It shall make you free. Because these words are the same words, are inspired by the same person that spoke the world into existence. Him that moves the planet. Every time we read the word, it moves us. It moves us in our emotions. So if any religious leader, when it becomes increasingly difficult to understand him and it is easier to compromise your faith. If any religious leader changes the gospel or distorts biblical principles or makes up their own rules, this is a cult. Mm-hmm. Now, let me show you another clip. Now, this one also makes me mad as well. I think all of them make me mad. Let me skip.
They were giving their lives money.
And the whole body was this little old lady. And she was in a wheelchair. Jim said, "Darling, you know, today is your day. You're gonna get healed today." He said, We're gonna heal those legs of yours. You're gonna walk again." And the whole auditorium went totally crazy.
"Come forth, my dear. Stand up. Take that step. Bless your heart. Take that step."
And she takes this real slow, shaky step. She said, "I can feel it." He said, "Yes, I know you can feel it. Now take your other leg and do it." And it's another real slow, shaky step. And he says, "Now I want you to walk toward me.
Move forward. Move forward. Move forward, darling. You can do it."
And she starts taking forward steps. And pretty soon, she is walking. And she starts walking up one of the aisles. And pretty soon, she's running. Well, by this time, the whole congregation's running down these aisles with us. We're all just running around the aisles, just whooping and hollering up a storm. Later, I found out that this person that I had seen healed and cried with was really one of the secretaries made up to look crippled and blind.
"Never shall forget what he's done for me. Oh, what he's done for me."
He said, "A lot of you people, you Christian people coming in, you're so hung up on this Bible." He said, "This black book has held down black people for the last 200 years. He said, "But I'm going to show you this has no power." So he leaned way back like a football player and he flung it. And when he flung it and let it go, the place got dead quiet. And he waited till it hit the floor. Pow! When it hit the floor, he stood and he looked back and forth. He said, "Now, did you see any lightning come from the sky and strike me dead?"
"You're going to help yourself or you'll get no help. There's only one hope of glory. That's within you. Nobody's going to come out of the sky. There's no heaven up there. No hope and no heaven over here."
And he said, "What you need to believe in is what you can see." He said, "If you see me as your friend, I'll be your friend. As you see me as your father, I'll be your father for those of you that don't have a father." He said, "If you see me as your savior, I'll be your savior." He said, "Even so, if you see me as your God, I'll be your God."
You see how deep it goes? It goes very deep. Completely contradicts the word. He says, you should believe what you see when the Bible says we walk by faith. Because, I mean, that's how we do things in this world. We don't see as we're talking on the cell phone, we don't see the electricity line and the wavelengths, you know, of our voice going around the world and stuff. Nor do we see angels going back and forth. Nor do we see demons trying to deceive us. We walk by faith. And God, he's an invisible God, and he's calling us back to him. This same God that died on the cross is the same God who's crying out, "Please do not be deceived by these false prophets." Amen. Let me get back to this again. Work.
devil didn't want to hear you hear this message this morning. Look at that. We're preaching against him.
Yeah. I guess he likes my computer. It's good for review, too. Okay. All right, here we are. Well, another way to know a cult or identify a cult is you notice they use a lot of manipulation and they coerce their members into submission. You see, ladies and gentlemen, cults will try to use force. Cults will try to use pressure to people. If you read in Revelation 13, you read about a beast or organization that will cause the whole world to receive a mark in their forehead or on their hands. And that Spanish guy, that's not him. He's probably a daughter or son of him, but no. That man is not of one of the beast. He is, but he's not the beast. But he will cause the whole world to receive a mark in their hands. And this beast always represents the ultimate leader behind it, who is Satan. Instead of knocking on the doors of your hearts, he bangs and he knocks it down and he forces his way into your life. But Christ appeals to us and he says, trust me. I am the shaper of the universe. I can take care of you. God says, I promise if you step out to follow me, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God says, if you step out to follow me, and you will leave a certain friend structure, but I will bring your friends into your life. God says, if you lose your job to follow me, I create the whole world, the cattle upon a thousand hills, the silver and the gold are mine. The whole universe is his. Amen. But God says, I know how to take care of my own. Don't worry about it. God says, I know how to take care of your career. I know how to take care of your livelihood. I know how to take care of your name, your reputation. There is only one Christ, and don't accept any cult, nor any counterfeit Messiah. God says there is only one word, the Bible. Don't accept any human teaching. God says don't compromise. Don't go with the masses. Christians who are more comfortable with going with what their church says than what the Bible says are preparing their minds for deception. Or vice versa, if they're preparing their minds for tradition rather than on what Christ says, are preparing their minds for deception. And God today is calling us to make a decision for Him. God is calling us to put Christ first in our lives. Christ is calling us to put the Bible first in our lives. In Revelation 22, verse 17, it says, and the Spirit and the Bride says, come. Let him who hears say, come. Let him thirst, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. This is God here. Though he owns the whole planet, he still says, well, if you want to follow me, please come. If you're thirsty for something more in life, come. Come. He doesn't force you. The fourth identifying mark of a cult is that they regularly appeal for signs and miracles. In Revelation 13, verse 13, it says, he performs great signs, speaking about the beast, he performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast. And John, he writes this from the perspective of heaven, because as he's looking down, he's like, man, how can they fall for this? Those people on the earth. Because he sees that these are spirits working, these are demons, spirits of demons working miracles, doing all these different miracles they claim. Like I just read, for they are spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth. Now let me show you one more video. One more video. Now I'm sure you guys, everyone knows this guy. Everybody.
Saints, please understand this. You're looking at me now, sitting here wearing this suit and all this stuff. I am not the same man under the anointing as I am now.
True.
I mean, believe me when I tell you, I do not even identify with the Ben Hinn you see on television.
Yeah.
Amen.
Because it's a different man. It's not me. Mm-hmm. My children are afraid of me under the anointing.
You hear him say fire, fire, fire in a choir. The Bible says it clearly that they would even make it seem like they can bring fire down from heaven. Down from heaven. Now, I've seen that show several times, and it is kind of convincing in the way some people just come up claiming, I just overcame cancer, and I just came walking up I just overcame my wheelchair, and I just came running, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And you're just wishing, oh, I hope this is true. I really hope this is true. But you know, the Bible says that the devil himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Into an angel of light. So he's not going to come like, rah. He's going to go, holy, holy. Oh, you want to be healed? Oh, I'm going to heal you before I take you to hell. He wants to take everybody to hell. And he'd do it any way he can. Anyway. Now let's do some more review. Promise you this is the last time. Do you know his name? No, because I don't know either. Won't work. Well, while I'm getting over there, I have this good news to tell everybody. It is so powerful. You ready to hear it?
Yeah.
All right. You guys eating anything? Because I don't want you to choke. You ready? Okay. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. I just have to get myself ready myself because it is so powerful. It is just so powerful. Okay, you ready?
Yes.
Okay, well, too late. I'm here already. But Jesus is coming.
Amen.
The real Jesus is coming.
Yes.
I swear I tell you, I don't think I have long to live here. I don't know if I'm going to have kids to grow, to see go to college. I'm not expecting it either, but The fifth way to identify a cult is that they always isolate their converts from their families and try to move them into a place so they can live, or some type of island or something like that, an island away from people. They always want to make heaven on earth. For example, like David Koresh, who led hundreds of people into this temple, this building, to live as the rebuilders of the world. They were planning to move to Palestine eventually, and David Koresh, as the leader, or the Messiah of that group, who claimed to be the Lamb of God, he was gonna repopulate the world with the wives that he had, and with the weapons that he had inside. His doctrine taught that he was going to slaughter some type of Christians, hypocritical Christians. In 1 John 4, verse 1, it says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." In Romans 4, verse 14, verse 12, speaking of those who give their minds over to these people, expecting that their salvation is depending on the preacher or their leader. It says, "So then each of us shall give an account of God, of himself to God." Each of us. Everybody's going to be standing alone. Nobody's going to say, "Hold on, can I call my mom for this answer?" No, nobody. And I can't wait to see all these false Christs standing before the real Christ. I really can't wait. Unless they give their life over to Christ, then praise God. But I cannot wait till the real Jesus stands up from his throne and he looks at them and he says, "Who are you? See that you're Christ. You can't say it right." I can't wait when Jesus stands up and he shows his hands scarred with a hole in his hands. And he will say, "Did you do this? I want you to carry your own sins. See how it feels. I carried your sins, but you denied me." I cannot wait when Jesus stands up with fire all around him. And the fire of truth blows on every person's face. And I'll be there happy. Like, praise the Lord, that's my Jesus. I'm in Christ, because there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But if you're not, well, you're condemned. I cannot wait, because there will be an eye-opening. Now, you will become vulnerable to cults when you look up, when you look to any human authority rather than Christ. You accept the teaching of tradition rather than the Word of God. You are amazed by the spectacular miracles. I can't say that word for some reason. You fail to live by your own personal convictions. Now, it was Christ, the one with the nails through his hands, who said, "Come unto me, all ye, all that are burdened and heaven laden, I will give you rest." If you're tired of life, you can come to Jesus, and he will give you rest. Some burdens that you are carrying, some are burden of guilt. Tonight, I present to you Jesus Christ. His hands are outstretched to each one of us. Do you need forgiveness tonight? I present to you the one whose hands are scarred for you and me, Jesus Christ. Is there some habit that is gripping you and you need to be free? You need to be free from this prison of sin. Christ reaches out with his scarred hands to you. He is the one who will forgive you. He is the only one that can forgive you. And he is the one that will change you. He is the one who will give you new power. He says, "Come unto me and I will give you rest." All you who are burdened, maybe burdened about the truth. You have been hearing this truth in these meetings and you are burdened. I do not ask you to follow me, but I ask you to follow Jesus Christ. Yes. You've been stirred in your soul and you are a truth seeker. Come to Jesus and open your heart to Jesus. Tell Jesus, "Lord, I want to follow you." Today I do not present to you the popular way. I don't present to you the mass of the way of the world. Today I present to you the way of Daniel, standing alone for Christ. I present to you the way of Joseph, standing alone for Christ. I present to you the way of Jeremiah, standing alone for Christ. Who wants to make that decision to stand alone for Christ, to follow Jesus wherever he leads? Because he is the only one worthy of our praise. The God who died for us. Raise your hand if you want to make that decision. Praise Jesus. Oh, praise Jesus. You know, there's rejoicing in heaven. I wonder how the music up there is. But Father, thank you, Lord, for blessing us, Lord, with the truth. God, I ask that you would give us the spirit of discernment and help us to read your word and understand it, Lord, so that no one will fall by the wayside of all these different deceptions of cults. Please, Lord, I ask that you would help us to take the only way, which is you, the way, the truth, and the life. In Jesus' name, amen.